that I can't tell you how many hundreds, if not thousands of people I've prayed for that feel like their life is a mistake. Maybe it was they were conceived out of wedlock. Maybe it wasn't the right sex baby. Maybe it was because the pain of their childhood. People that feel like their life is nothing but an accident. They hate their bodies. 8 out of 10 people that look in a mirror hate what they see. A friend of mine's daughter is an international model, and she says if you asked any of those models if they think they're beautiful, they say, no, my feet are too big. No, my eyes aren't the right color. No, my ears aren't the right shape. Even the most beautiful women in the world don't like what they see in the mirror. The people I've prayed with that think that they are just an accident waiting to happen. They don't like their lot in life. They're angry at God because they feel like He gave them the wrong parents, the wrong circumstance, the wrong hair, the wrong body. Even though I was a wanted child, I always felt like I was a mistake. I wasn't nursed, as we talked about last night. I wasn't carried upon my mother's breast. My mother was a career woman. My mother loved me, would have given her life for me, but I didn't have that mother's nurture. I hated my ears. They were too big. I hated my feet. They were too big. I hated my body. It was too skinny. I was awkward. I was clumsy. I wasn't good enough at sports. I didn't receive enough praise. It takes 40 words of praise to counteract one word of criticism, James Dobbs says, and Dane Jobson says. And I didn't like life, so I'd lay in bed at night and wished I hadn't been born, and allergies would increase. I'd lay in bed and wished I could die young, and I made a covenant with myself, I'm going to die before I'm 21. I made it there, I'll die before I'm 30. My life filled with thoughts of death, no destiny, no purpose. You know when the teenage suicide rate began to skyrocket in America? When the schools began to teach evolution as fact. When they stopped teaching God being our creator and they started teaching evolutional science as the fact. Year after year, children are hearing their life's just an accident, that some blob of goo mutated in a cell of life got in there and formed and mutated over tens of thousands of years, and now we've grown from animals, but we're really just an accident, and life will go on and mutations will continue until one day there's an ice age returns and all of life dies off of the planet, and there's just really no purpose, there's just really no destiny, and it makes a person believe their life is just an accident and that they're just born to live a life and to die with no divine purpose, no divine plan, no significance in eternity, and it ends up in nothing but death. And when we feel like a spiritual orphan, there's no real passion for life. There's no real destiny. In meetings, we do a lot of youth nights like we did last night, and sometime I teach in this realm when it's youth nights, and I found 1 out of 3 teenagers in America that I minister at through the altars have thoughts of death continually. Because when you feel like you're an accident, when you don't realize you were created for love, and you had a father before you ever were even a gleam in your father's eye, you had a father. Your earthly father didn't design you. Your earthly father didn't create you. Your earthly father didn't choose in your coming forth, didn't choose your time in the moment of your birth. Your heavenly father chose you. He destined your time. He created you for a divine purpose. You are a gift of love to His family. You're a gift of love to the heart of the Father. Whether you believe it or not, whether you're saved or not, you were created as a gift of love to His family. And whether you're regenerated or not, you're still Dad's kid. You may need to be bought back. You may need to be redeemed. But even if you're not, you can do like I did. I fought against being my dad's kid for years. My children fought against being my kids for years. And you can fight against it. And if you do, you're going to need drugs. You're going to need pornography. You're going to need immorality. Because you were created for one purpose. Deep, intimate fellowship with Him. And then to make His love known to the world. That's your destiny. You're not an accident. And people that don't believe that, people that don't realize that, so many have a deep wound because they don't feel that their life has purpose or destiny. They don't feel they were born at their parents' timetable. They don't feel that they were chosen and cherished and had a place at the depth of your dad's heart. Maybe you never had it in your earthly dad's heart. You've always had it in your heavenly father's heart. Since you were conceived, born, you've always had that place in his heart. Even if you're the prodigal running out doing your own thing. But if you don't feel that value, you may not have a zeal for life. You may not have a joy for living. So little passion in life. Pain seeks pleasure. Left feeling like you shouldn't have been born. And even as a born-again Christian, even as a Spirit-filled Christian, left feeling like a spiritual orphan. No daddy to run to. No place to go during the hard times and the rest. What did Jesus said when you stand praying, say, Father. Not Jesus. Not Holy Spirit. Father. Father. When I teach in the realm I'm about to right now and ask for a raise of hands in America, 50 to 60% raise their hands. In European and Asian cultures, 80 to 90% raise their hands. Because see, when you feel like a spiritual orphan, so many people start taking on thoughts. I wished I hadn't been born. Life would have been better off if I hadn't been born. I just wish Jesus would come back and take me home. Life's too painful. I just don't want to go on living. Please, Jesus, please come back soon. Please come back soon. This is called hidden death wishes. They do not simply go away. Hidden death wishes affect your physical body. Hidden death wishes affect your emotions because we start thinking life is just too painful to live. And the emotions say, okay, body, shut down. And the body starts shutting down and going haywire. Symptoms of hidden death wishes. My life is an accident ready to happen. Childhood diseases that just seem to run rampant, and it's a sick child all the time. Allergies and asthma. I'm not saying every allergy and asthma are created or hooked to this, but many times it is. I'm on airplanes a lot, and I strike up conversations with people, and I'm always throwing the bait out, and they ask what I do. I'm a teacher. And what do you teach? Well, just family conferences. I don't even tell them I'm a Christian. I'm trying to reel them in a little bit first. And I get talking about their children, and over again I hear about children today with tremendous allergies and asthma problems. More rampant than ever before. Now the world says it's because of the pollution and things, and I grant it, that's some of it, I believe. But one of the things I always ask when I hear this is, tell me, has your child ever been through a trauma? You ever been divorced? Was they a wanted child? 9 out of 10 times. That I hear of these really sick children, they will tell me of divorces early in life. They'll tell me of trauma, of being born or conceived out of wedlock. I hear these stories over and over again. And then I tell them what I really do. Many times it ends up in unbelievable moments and experiences. I get letters back from these people. At times, children being set free and healed. Muscle disorders, many times related to hidden death wishes. One of the biggies right now is fibromyalgia. And I just saw on the news last week how it is most common in women who have had traumatic life experiences. Accident prone, an accident waiting to happen. I was always in a cast. I always had stitches. I've got scars all over my body. I mean, they knew my family by first name at the emergency room. There was not hardly a month went by I'm not rushed to the hospital with asthma, about to die, with a seizure, with a broken wrist, a broken foot, a broken finger, stitches from cuts from... Of course, I was a fisherman and handled a lot of knives. Fish hooks, I've had fish hooks in my mouth. I've had fish hooks in my ear. I mean, I've had them hanging all off of my body. But a funny thing happened when I broke all these death wishes and began to learn about it about 13 years ago and broke the power of it. I don't have accidents anymore. I never could do anything right in sports. Clumsy and awkward. Funny thing happened when I broke all the death wishes. I'm very good at sports. Very good. I'm not clumsy anymore. I don't drop things. You find people that lack coordination and are awkward and clumsy, many times the root issue is, I wish I hadn't been born. Lay in bed at night. Not necessarily suicidal. That's something different. Just life's too painful to live. No zeal, no passion in life. Hidden gifts, hidden talents that never rise to the surface. They seem to snatch defeat out of every victory. Never seem to rise up. Oftentimes, someone with a great voice but can't project it. They just can hardly talk. Just barely see it. You see it in their eyes. No passion and zeal all over Eastern Europe, certainly in Belarus and Lithuania, that emptiness and hollowness you see all over the rest of Central and Eastern Europe. That's why 80 to 90% raise their hands when we minister in this realm. And a lot of hidden anger, and you just can't find where the hidden anger is related to. So you focus it at your parents. You focus it at your dad. You focus it at your mom. Or you focus it at your spouse. When actually the hidden anger is against God. Because you feel like you got a raw deal from God. He didn't make your body right. He didn't make you look right. He gave you the wrong parents. And you take it all out on everyone around you when really the root issue is you're mad at God. And people's bodies will just begin to decay. Jerry Funk, you've met Jerry and Gladys. Many of you have their own oldest son. His whole body is shutting down 3-4 years ago. All his muscles shutting down. 40 years old. The doctors can't understand it. He's in a wheelchair. and they can't find any problems. They don't know why the muscles aren't working. Warning, warning, when a doctor says I can't find the problems, it's usually a spiritual root. 8 out of 10 times it is. And I sent him an email. Jerry, I did your prayer counseling years ago. You never mentioned any death wishes or anything I asked you, but you never mentioned it. But you've got every symptom that you've got death wishes. You lived in the Seattle, Washington area. I got 3 pages back. I was too ashamed to tell you, Jack, and I never brought this up, but when I was 12 years old, I was raped by a neighborhood gang. The things they did to me was unbelievable. And I lived terrorized. I couldn't tell my mom and dad because they were not nurturing at that time. It happened several times. As a small child, all I wanted to do was die. I thought about it all the time. And when life would get so painful, I would go out in the woods and I'd make a noose around a rope. And I would put that rope around the tree and I'd hang it around my neck and I'd pull up until I passed out. And each time the rope came loose and fell down. And then one time I did it and I knew about this one. But Mom and Dad told me it was an accident and Jerry Jr. told me it was an accident. One time the rope caught and he hung himself and he died right there. Now he said it was an accident. He was in the tree practicing Boy Scout knocks, and he made the psychologist believe that and his parents believe that, but when they got him to the hospital, he was dead, no heartbeat. They were able to put him on a machine and his heartbeat came back and he laid in a coma, a vegetable, for 6 weeks, and doctors told them he had never come out of it. All the oxygen had been shut off from his brain. And some Jesus freak came into the hospital and happened to be in the room visiting other people. Long hair, weird as can be, and Jerry and Gladys weren't even born-again Christians. They did go to high church in town, but never had a born-again experience, didn't want to be. And this Jesus freak came in and prayed for their son right when they were about to shut everything down and said, he's a vegetable, he's dead, there's no... If nothing happens, he'll never come out of this. Prayed for him. A few hours later, he woke up fine, out of the hospital in 2 days. But he told me all through life, Jerry was saved out of that, the family all born again. But he said all through life, every time things get tough, I'll find a place to put a rope around somewhere and I do it again. He said, I just don't have any desire for living. I said, I can't minister to you by phone over this. It's just too deep. I made some calls, found an Elijah House counselor, prayer counselor in Seattle, made the appointment. He's given me permission to share all this. He's told his mom and dad all about it. He went there in a wheelchair. His stepson had to help get him in the building. He went to the first 45-minute appointment. Next day, he's out cutting the grass. Because he went in there and received ministry and prayer and brought it to the cross and was set free. But so many people's body is going haywire and they don't understand why. They don't understand why all these stress-related diseases, why all these sicknesses. Death wishes don't simply go away. Your body obeys. Turn to Psalm 139 as we'll be closing out with this passage that's so well known. You knew we had to go there sooner or later. So let's read it together. We close out with this passage. Psalm 139 and start at verse 13. For God did form my inward parts He did weave me in my mother's womb. You're not an accident. I don't care what the circumstances was of your birth. I don't begin to understand children born from rape. But God knew the appointed time. God knew the place of habitation. I don't begin to understand that, but I don't begin to understand that the Savior of the world could be conceived out of wedlock and go through 9 months of shame and rejection and threats of being stoned to death in the mother's womb. I don't even begin to understand. But I will give thanks to Thee, O God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not an accident. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. In God's eyes, every one of us is beautiful. It's Hollywood that has stole the sense of beauty from you. It's this world system that stole the sense of beauty from you. You are radiant in your Father's eyes. Wonderful are your works. Your life is wonderful to Him. And my soul knows it very well. When you know it, you'll no longer feel like an orphan. Your frame was not hidden from Him. When you were made in secret, He skillfully wrought love inside of you. You are lovable. He put it in the depths of the earth. Everything inside of you, in the depths of your heart, is created good. You are very good in His eyes. Their eyes have seen, God's Father's eyes have seen your unformed substance. They've been written all in the books. Your days were ordained. You are not an accident. When as yet there was none of them, before you were a gleam in your daddy's eye, you were on the design sketching board in your heavenly Father's eyes. You've never been a moment without a father. There are no orphans. How precious are God's thoughts towards you. How precious are Father's thoughts towards you. You can't even count the sum of all the good thoughts He has towards you. You're so valuable to Him. You're so beautiful to Him. You're so fearfully, wonderfully made. That even if you're lost, even if you've never been born again and regenerated, redeemed, reconciled to God, His thoughts towards you are awesomely wonderful and full of value and cherishing and beauty. And you can't even count how many of those thoughts He has towards you. This is who you are. I didn't finish the story of my daughter last night because I thought I might finish it tonight. And my daughter was conceived in tremendous pain and anguish in my wife. She was not a wanted child at the time she was conceived. She would have been very much wanted a few years later when my wife and I were more emotionally healthy, when our lives were in a better place. But Sarah came along and was rejected in the room. I don't want to be pregnant right now. And she came forth, no zeal, no life, angry. Couldn't get her to smile. Never felt she had a place in life. Never felt she had a place in our heart. And then I began to learn some of these principles when she was 9 years old. She's 18 now. And I sat down with her and the story of how to do it and how to do this with your children on that single tape, restoring the hearts of the children to their parents. We sat down and knelt before our daughter. We had done everything for 9 years to make her feel welcomed. We wanted her the whole 9 years, just not the pregnancy. We knelt on our hands and knees before her. And Tricia told her the circumstances of the pregnancy. How she'd always been wanted. but not this, at this time and place in our life. And out of Sarah came a groan. She didn't know it in her conscious memory, but her subconscious has recorded everything since the moment of conception, not birth. Subconscious has recorded it all since the moment of conception. That's been scientifically proven. University of Georgia, or University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida. Sarah began to cry and wail uncontrollably like you have never seen her before. And a little girl that never had felt she had a place in her daddy's heart was literally born anew that day. And she went from a countenance like this to a countenance like that. A passion and a zeal. For weeks to come, every one of our friends that saw her went, "What has happened to Sarah? She's been welcomed to life." And we've seen this beautiful young woman flower with such a passion for life and a zeal for life. But what I want to tell you right now, it's not about rebonding to your earthly father. It's about embracing the truth that God is your father. And just like that little girl had an encounter with a daddy's love, Father God wants you to be reconciled to Him. He wants to be your father tonight. And you don't have to ever again feel like an orphan. You're His child. And there is nothing you can do to change that. There is nothing you can do to cause Dad to cherish, love, and adore you any more than Abba Father does right now. There is nothing you can do to cause Abba Father to love you any less than you are right now. And when you believe that, perfect love will cast out all fear. 1 John 4:18. How many have felt like spiritual orphans? You see, look around, please. Please be honest and put your hand up. You see how many of us it's been? How many have felt like accidents and interruptions in their parents' life? Tonight, you're going to be set free. We're going to minister tonight similar to the way we did last night, but much, much, much deeper. There's something I found as I've done meetings all over. There's something about standing up. There's something about praying out loud. I don't know what it is, but when I tried doing it, thinking it, things don't break loose. When I tried doing it seated, things don't break loose. So if you want to pray this rather lengthy prayer, I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you're at. We're going to pray a prayer of receiving our Father. I want you to pray it out loud. There's also something about being down up front. You don't need to come up front, but if you want to come up front, do. You probably will need someone to hold you. Some of you will need someone to hold you. And I want you to feel free to get someone you love, you cherish, you care for, you came with. Feel free to maybe put your arms around one another. Some may want to kneel. Some may want to stand. And I wonder if the sound man, whoever can go put this music tape in, CD that I gave Gary. It's Ruth Fazel, kind of pinkish in color. Put that in. And just begin to play it lightly. It just kind of helps set an atmosphere. And please be willing to pray this out loud. It's not going to be the same prayer as last night. It will be a little different. And so, Father, we're going to need some help right now. Father, we're really going to need you. turn it down just a hair, just a hair. And we thank you, Father, that revelation is flowing in people's hearts right now. Father, let that seed and that truth that every child was conceived in your love, no matter what uncleanness may have happened in the act between the birth father and birth mother, every child was conceived in your love. Every child was designed as an expression of your love. And so, Father, drive that home right now. Make it reality right now. And we're going to pray a short prayer to, again, release our mother and fathers. You may need to focus more on your father. Another may need to focus more on the mother or a birth parent or parental influence. I'm just going to put them all together and say father and mother because we prayed a little bit there last night. Then we're going to go into a lot of other areas and pray this out loud. And if tears begin to rise up, please let it flow. Don't let a wall hold back freedom from flowing. If anger rises up, just let the pain out. You've pushed down emotions a lifetime. Let them come to the forefront. And Luke 11:10 says, everyone who asks receives, not those who cry receives, those who emotional receives. You may be no emotions at all. Everyone who asks receives. And say, Father God, I come to you now. I never realized what a father you were. Oh, I want to know you as Father. But I've got to get some things out. And I need you to pour some things in. And so I bring my earthly mom and dad to you. My parental figures to you. Mom and Dad, I need to forgive you for every way I didn't feel accepted by you. I forgive you for not feeling valued unless I did everything right. And I release you from that. Mom and Dad, I forgive you for not making me at all times feel like I had a special place in your heart. And I release you. And I repent for rebelling against you. For rebelling against being your child. And I lay that at the foot of the cross. My mom and dad, Father God is calling me to him. So I've got to let go of you. I've got to release you. The need that I've had for you to make it right with me, I let go of that. The need that I've had for you to say how much you love me, I let go of that. The need I've had for your value and respect, I let go of that. Because I've got to come to the Father with empty hands. I've got to come to him as an orphan in the natural realm so that I can receive him as Father in the spiritual realm. So, Mom and Dad, I release you right now. And now, Father God, I turn to you. Much of my life, I felt like a spiritual orphan. I had nowhere to go for protection. Nowhere to go for comfort. Nowhere to go for provision. For nurture, for rest. So, Father, I come to you now. And I've rebelled against you by rebelling against the life you gave me. And I ask you to forgive me. Father, you know everything about me. And forgive me for not liking myself. You designed me. And when I don't like myself, I'm saying you didn't make me right. Deep down, I'm angry at you. Forgive me for not liking myself. Forgive me for rebelling against this life you gave me. Forgive me for rebelling against this body. I renounce that rebellion right now. And I choose to be born. I choose life. I choose the life I have in this body. And I renounce the death that's invaded this body. Now I ask you to reconcile me, spirit, soul, and body. I felt scattered. Bring me back into unity with myself and restore me to your fatherhood. Now, Father God, you formed me in my mother's womb. You knew me from the beginning of time. And you know no time and space. I asked you to take me back to the place where I was conceived. Now come to me, Father, at the moment of conception. Now just see in the spirit realm the sperm joining the egg. See it joining right now. No matter what the circumstance of your birth, Father is directing this awesome event. It was God's idea that you were conceived in love. His love. See Him knitting the sperm and the egg together and joining it together. See Him setting you free right now of anything not conceived in love. His hands at work. He chose the appointed time. He chose the moment. Now take that egg, God, and plant it in the mother's womb right now. Plant it in the womb with your hand, Father God. Yes. Begin to speak life right now into that life that's coming forth. Breathe into that fertilized egg the breath of life right now, Father. Father, give it your holy kiss. Your breath breathing over it. And now that rejection that came in some of them right now. Right now we renounce anything contrary to the Father's love conceiving you. The Father's love knitting you together. Right now, I renounce rejection within the womb. I renounce abandonment. I renounce self-rejection. I renounce self-hatred that entered in when I was not born at my parents' timetable. I break its hold off of me. God, you chose me. Father, you planted me in the womb. Father, your love conceived me. Father, your love formed me. I really am beautiful. I really am good looking. I really am loved. Because as you're creating me, you're pronouncing it is very good. You took the best of your life and created me in your image. And I renounce the father of lies. I'll not listen to you anymore. I'll not let you father me anymore. I renounce the lie I have no value. I renounce the lie that I'm not lovable. I renounce the lie that I have no one to love me. I renounce the lie that I don't have a father that loves me. And now I embrace the truth, Father God. I receive my life as a gift of your love. I am a gift of love to the world. And I renounce the death urges. The death that penetrated my body. The death that penetrated my emotions. Spirit of death, I renounce you. I have value. I'm not an accident. You have no foothold, death. And so I renounce death within my emotions. I renounce death over my body. Spirit of infirmity that's invaded my body, I break your hold off of me right now. Because Father's love is coming to me now. Father's life is pouring through me. I awaken that goodness that's within me. That goodness that He created in me. He knit together in me. And I break the Father of life. I let go of rejection. I let go of death. I let go of despair. I let go of fear. I let go of striving. Because I can rest in fatherhood. I am not a spiritual orphan. And so, orphan spirit, I renounce you right now. I break your hold off of my emotions. I break your hold off of my thoughts. I am fathered. And I submit to the fatherhood of my Heavenly Father. And so I break the curses from my iniquity, from the iniquities of my forefathers. I place the cross between my mother and father. Let the cross filter out all rejection. Filter out all uncleanness. Filter out all abandonment. Filter out all the sins of the past. And Psalm 49, 10 and 11 says, "Forget your father and your father's house. For the king is captivated by your beauty, by my beauty. And I bow down to him alone. So I release my earthly father and mother and the obligation I've had for them to accept me and love me. And I accept right now my Heavenly Father. Accept his fatherhood."
If you would like to order this tape set or any of the other material available at Shiloh Place Ministries, you may reach us at area code 843-381-0007 or write to us at Shiloh Place Ministries, Post Office Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. For our friends comfortable with a computer, log on to our website for the latest Shiloh Place itinerary and news at www.shilohplace.org. Or you may email us at info@shilohplace.org.